So, do you guys remember what we were studying? Yeah. Anybody? What? We did, yeah. Did we finish Gospel Life yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did, right. Okay, good. And then what did Matt talk about last week? You guys remember Matt Dinger spoke? What did he speak on? Were you raising your hand?
You
forgot? Prayer. All right, so he talked about how do we get to pray? Why do we get to pray? Anybody remember? Tricky question. Yeah. Exactly. Jesus died for us, and when he died for us, he made it possible that we could talk directly to God now. And what do we call that? You already told me. There you go, prayer. And so we're going to be looking at prayer for the next few weeks. And tonight, I'm going to show you how you correctly pray. You guys want to see how you pray? Does anybody know? Can you tell me first? Let's see if you know. Anyone know how are we supposed to pray?
On our knees.
On our knees. All right, any other tips I need to know about before I actually engage in this thing called prayer? Can somebody turn those spotlights off for me?
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. All right, I got to close my eyes. I got to get on my knees. What else am I going to do? So it works. I want this to work, all right? It's going to work. Focus on God, on my knees, eyes closed. Do I got it? Anything else? Yeah. Oh, the hands, right? The hands are important. Got to have the hands like this or like this. Do you fold or do you like press? Like what? Either way, I mean, I've seen it like this. It looks a lot better, doesn't it? Like more serious. But sometimes you do that. I don't know. Which one do you want me to do? This way? Yeah, it looks more. All right, so I'm going to be on my knees, eyes closed, hands like this, focus on God. Anything else? Can someone pop those spotlights off real quick? Thanks. Do what? Bow my head, of course. That's like number one key ingredient, right? All right, so bow my head, close my eyes, get on my knees, get my hands like this, talk to him and focus on him. Anything else? Because I want, like I said, I want
to
get this right.
No, we,
in German? No. Are you messing with me? I don't know if I can do it in German. All right, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to try it right now. We're going to see if it works. All right, because we want to make sure this thing works before I teach it to you today. I want to make sure this actually works because I don't know if I would teach it to you if I can't prove it. Yeah. I gotta say stuff. Do I have to say it out loud, or is there a certain way I'm supposed to say it? That part doesn't matter. When I bow, like, can I use a chair, or should I use a chair? Maybe.
No.
Like, how am I supposed to do it?
You can stand.
Is there a certain amount of time? All right, I'm gonna try this. Let's see. I'm on my knees. All right. What else? All right. Eyes closed, head bowed. Right. What else did you tell me? Hands gonna be like this. Is there a certain amount of time I gotta do this for?
No. I
just got to make sure I talk to God and focus. You said focus on God. All right. I'm going to ask him for the thing I want the absolute most right now. I really, 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 really want this. So I'm going to pray just like you told me. And we're going to see if this works because I really, really want this. All right. So here I go. Don't interrupt me. I got to focus on God right now. All right. All right. I'm focusing. Is it working?
Yeah.
It is? It's working?
I can feel it.
All right, I'll keep praying. What?
I want you to know, like, I'm sorry, I know you're preaching, but...
Hey, that's what I prayed for! Perfect! Look at that! That's what I really wanted! I got my pizza! Prayer works! That's perfect! All right, I can't eat this because I got to preach, so I'm going to have to pick somebody who wants a slice of pizza right now. All right, you jumped up first, there you go. All right. See, I told you prayer works, right? Isn't that how you're supposed to do it?
No.
But I mean, I just showed you. Like, no?
Okay, God could have said no, though.
God could have said no? Wait a minute. So you're saying prayer's a little trickier than what we might think sometimes, right? Some of these, like, ideas that we might have about prayer that you guys told me may not be exactly accurate. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, have to, but it's respectful.
All right, all
right.
That could be. All right. So why don't we do this instead? Instead of me just trying to tell you, let's look and see what Scripture says about prayer over the next couple weeks. Let's forget all the things that we think about prayer right now, about getting on our knees and bowing our head and doing our hands like this and all these other things. Let's forget all that just for the time being. And let's look at Scripture and start there. And let's form what we think about prayer based on what we read. Can we do that? Just start all over from a clear slate? All right, so everybody take all that stuff in your head, grab it real quick, grab it out of your brain. Do that for me. Have you got it? You got it in both hands? Grab it. Get your ideas of Scripture, of prayer. There you go. Now I want you to do this. Blow them away. All right, good. You blew them away. Good. All right, so let's start this way. Open up to James chapter 4 or use your phone or whatever you got your digitally or look on the screen. James chapter 4 is going to teach us something about prayer. Okay? Because now we've just learned that to live a gospel life means that Jesus did something really awesome called the gospel. Who knows what it is? What's the gospel?
The word of God.
That's definitely part of it. What?
Good news,
the Bible, all these things tell us what the gospel is. What is the gospel itself? What is this good news I need to tell people?
That Jesus saved us from our sin.
All right? That's the awesome news. And by doing that, he allows us to pray. So we're going to start looking at this thing called prayer so that we know how to talk to God and communicate to him right in ways that he answers us. Tonight, we're going to see what prayer isn't. When prayers kind of miss the mark, they don't hit the target that we're praying for. All of a sudden, we're like, hey, what's up, God? Like, what's going on? How come you're not answering my prayer? So James is going to give us a little clue on how not to pray. So let's start there. Let's throw all those ideas away and see what we shouldn't do. What else should we throw away from this? So James chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 to 10, okay? Here we go. You guys there? Nod if you're there. All right, most of you, that's good enough. All right, James chapter 4, verse 1 says, what causes quarrels? Quarrels are like fights, right? Arguments. And what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions at war within you? You desire and you don't have, so you murder. You covet and you can't obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You don't have, listen to this part, you don't have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you're asking wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Oh. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but will flee, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Get this awesome part at the end. And he will exalt you. All right, so James has given us some all sorts of awesome information about prayer in this passage right here. And he gives us a lot of information just about life, about how you're supposed to like live with God and how you should live as a believer in God. But specifically what we're going to look at in this passage, how does that relate to prayer? Because that's what we're talking about, right? So look at verse 1 in chapter 4. And let's start there because first he uses these words that are kind of confusing, right? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? What? Why is James talking about fights and quarrels? Weren't we talking about prayer?
Yeah.
Oh, what's he getting at? Why does he start off with that? What do you think? Something to pray about? He is talking about the things that these people should be praying about. You're absolutely right. Now listen, he starts out this passage asking a question, but he already knows the answer to it. It's one of those questions, did your mom ever ask you that question? Like, did you clean your room? And she already knows you didn't. It's basically, get back in your room right now and clean it. That's really what she wants to say. But she's being nice and she's like, did you clean your room? You don't dare say yes, because you know she's saying, she already knows, right? That's what James is doing. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Why are you all fighting? What's worth fighting over right now? And he's talking to believers in a church. These are Christians that are fighting each other. They're not getting along. He's like, what's causing this? He already knows. He's about to tell them, all right? Now here's the deal. The problem was they weren't focusing on Jesus. They were focusing on themselves. This church was fighting because they wanted, each person wanted their own thing. And when you want something that they want, you fight over it. Because you want that more than you want to get along with the other people. And that's what's going on here. They're focused on themselves. And guess what James is going to get at? When you're so focused on yourself, it messes up your communication with God. How are you going to talk to God if you're so focused on yourself? How are you going to even remember God if you're all focused on yourself? And so these people, the things that they want, they're so wrapped up in it that it's causing fights because they're not even looking to God. And that affects our prayer. All right? Then it says this. He answers them. Is it not this, Like, let me just tell you what it is, all right? Let me just save you the time, because I already know. I'm just going to tell you. Is it not this? That your passions are at war within you? Basically, you want things so bad that you're willing to do anything to get them. You ever had that, like, that thing that you really, really wanted really bad, and, like, it didn't matter how you get it, you just kind of want it. Like, you want to be the captain of the team, and you'll do anything to get there, you know? Or there's something that you really, really want, and you think about it every day, and you look it up online, and you're like, oh, I need that skateboard, or I need that whatever, and it kind of consumes what you think about all the time. And it's kind of that one thing that you're always like, you're saving money for it, and you're talking to mom and dad, like, hey, is there a way we can work this out? You know, maybe you can slip me an extra $5 here or there, and I can, like, get the skateboard, or you're like, Christmas list already, like, in August, you're like, here you go, you know that one thing, kind of like, that's these people, like, they were so consumed with earthly things, they were so consumed with physical things, that they were just thinking about those things all the time, and it was like these passions inside of them, that's all they could think about, it was consuming them, and it caused fights among them, because they weren't thinking about what matters, they weren't thinking about spiritual things that last forever. They weren't thinking about each other and the way they should love each other. They were thinking about what they wanted. And their selfishness got them all wrapped up in themselves, and their passions were at war, it says, within them. Like, it caused a little war, like, inside them. And so as they're wrestling with this, look what he says about them. You desire, like, you want these things really bad, but you don't have them. So you know what you do? What's it say up there?
Murder.
You murder. Now, they're probably not walking around literally like murdering each other. But James is using this hyperbole, this big like expression to say, like, it's just as bad what you're doing. You're to the point where you take somebody's life over something just dumb. How much could that mean to you that it means more than a human being? Now look what else it says. It says, you covet, like you want it really bad, what somebody else has, and you can't get it. You can't obtain it. So what do? What's it say? You fight and quarrel. Are you guys really fighting over this stuff? He's kind of looking at him like surprised. Are you kidding me? You guys are fighting over that? You want these physical things so badly that it's going to cause fights in your church among believers? You're being persecuted all around you. People don't want you believing in Jesus, and you're fighting each other? This is crazy. Now, I bet no one in this room has ever, like, fought with their brother or sister over something, right? Like, you've never done that because you guys are awesome. You wouldn't do that. You know, like, at school, you've never done that either. I'm sure you've never. But, I mean, if perchance there were someone in this room that fell in that category, you would know what I'm talking about, right? Now, listen. We do this a lot. You know why? Because we're humans. And humans, as humans, we want things. We see things that glitter and shine, and we're like, yes, I want that. And it's easy to get consumed in those things. But guess what? God doesn't want you to want those things. Now, James is real clear right here, all the way, just to this point, he's already said, God doesn't want you to want those physical things. He doesn't want your life to be all about that. Popularity, friends, stuff. He wants you to be about him. He wants you to love him and other people. That's what he wants you to be consumed with. And when we get consumed with all that other stuff is when we start to fight amongst each other. And if your heart's not right with other people, how are you going to go before the God of the universe? This series that we're going through in prayer is called Approaching the Throne. That's what I titled it, because here's what happens when you pray. We know from Hebrews that you literally get to walk into the throne room of God as you're praying. Can you picture that? As you're like, dear God, boom, like you're literally stepping into his throne. And you're in the presence of the God, the creator of everything. And you get to have his full attention. And you get to talk to him. And he listens. Whew. That's huge. If you guys needed to talk to President Obama right now, how long do you think you'd have to wait to get an appointment with him? Forget it. Yeah. We're not talking to Obama. Like, most likely you're not going to get an appointment ever. Okay. This very second, you can go to our God and he'll listen to you. And I'll tell you what, he is way bigger than President Obama. That's the throne room. Amen. Thanks, buddy. It's more amens than I get on a Sunday morning. All right. That's pretty awesome. Okay, so listen, how are you going to walk into that throne room then if your heart's not right? Do you want to stand before God and your heart's all focused on earthly stuff? Do you want to have to stand before His throne and Him look straight at you, knowing what's in your heart, that you just love things in earth, that you hate your neighbors because they have more than you, that your heart's a big mess? That's not the way to stand before God when Jesus has already paid the price to wash that away. And so James is saying, don't be in love with the world. You're quarreling with each other because you're focused on this stuff and it's messing up your communication with God. So listen, he's going to give us two ways why then this prayer doesn't work. Why I say that, like, it misses the target when you pray. And there's two big things. You guys want to know what it is? How many of you guys want to be able to pray and be like, God actually answers my prayer? Anybody in here? You want to like be like, hey, I want to be able to pray. And God be like, yeah. Okay, well, here's two things you don't want to do if you want that to happen. Two big things James is going to lay out very clearly. Don't do these two when you pray if you want God to actually answer you. They're no-nos. Okay, so number one, here we go. In the end of verse 2, it says, you don't have. Why? What's it say there?
You don't ask.
Because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. Well, first of all, he's saying one thing that you don't have. He's pointing out, you're missing the target. You're not getting whatever it is that you're wanting. Well, there's a target to hit, right? Well, here's the deal. I've heard this story once. You guys may have heard it or not. I'm going to try to retell it. It's not mine, but I heard it and I liked it. So if you haven't heard it, good. If you have, just smile and grin, okay? So anyway, it's about this Italian guy. He was an immigrant. He was really, really poor. He lived in Italy. And he had no money. He's living on the streets. And he would do anything he could just to save up all the cents he could get. He'd beg on the side of the road. He'd do little like jobs washing people's windshields, whatever he could do to like raise up this money. And he barely had money to eat. He had nowhere to live. He was just stashing it all away until he had enough money to buy a ticket for a cruise ship. He wanted to come to America. He's like, I got to get out of Italy. I got to get out of here. I can't live. Maybe if I go to America, I'll have a better chance. Saves up all this money. And then finally he gets enough money to get his ticket. So he gets on this cruise ship, and you know, it's a long way from Italy to America. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take many, many, many days. And so he's like just kind of trying to get there. That's all he cares about. Let's just get to America. And as he's on the ship, he's like, I don't even know what I'm going to eat because I don't have any money. I just had enough money to get this ticket. And so as he's walking around the ship, he would walk by the like dining room. And he would smell the food and his mouth would just water. You know, this huge buffet. Anyone ever been on a cruise? Oh man, buffets are awesome, right? They have all this awesome food. And he'd walk by and he'd see everybody walking in there with their nice clothes. And he was wearing like his dirty clothes, you know, like holes in his jeans and stuff. His hair was a mess. He's like, I can't even go in there. I don't have any money to go in there and even like, I'm just going to walk by. I don't want to be embarrassed. And so he would walk by. Day after day, he did that. His stomach got just, he was just growling. He was starving. He's wanting some food. And every day he'd smell that and just wish he could go in. And so finally one day, as he walked by, the waiter that would always stand at the door noticed that he'd walk by every day and he stopped him. He's like, I see you keep walking by, but like, how come you never come in? He's like, well, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I don't have any more money. I spent all my money on the ticket. I can't afford this meal. And he said, well, on cruise ships, it's free. He said, all these days you could have been coming in and eating. It was included in your ticket. All you had to do was ask. All he had to do was ask. And he could have been eating every single one of them. You ever heard that story? I've heard it a few times. I love that story. Because you know what it tells us? All we have to do is ask. Like God's literally sitting there waiting to hear from us. He's pumped that Jesus has made a way for you to be able to call his name so he can have a conversation with you. Like that's your God. He's that interested in you, not everybody, you. And he wants to hear you say, hey, God, and talk to him. Ask him for things that are on your heart. But James is telling us that a lot of us don't have those things. Like, have you ever gotten mad at God for that? Have you ever been like that waiter who's like, man, can't go in there, you know? Have you ever been like, God, how come you don't do this in my life? How come this is happening to me? How come this person has this and I can't? You know, like, I feel like all of us probably fall in that boat where we're like, God, how could you let this happen? Or how come you didn't do this? And really, I feel like sometimes God's just looking at us going, hey, dummy, you never asked me. You know, like, oh yeah, I never prayed about it. I never even thought to ask you for it. I just got mad at you when it didn't happen. And James is like, a lot of people fall into that trap where they don't talk to God unless they're yelling at him for something that they didn't get. So rule one, don't forget to ask. If you don't ask, you can't have. You need to be involved in prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I want you to think about this. Like, do you pray to God regularly? Do you talk to him like he's your best friend? Do you spend your day having conversations with God or talk to him first thing in the morning or before you go to bed? Whatever you do, do you have conversations with the Creator? Because he wants you to. And you can't have unless you ask. All right? So that's the first one. You ready for the second one? Okay, good. I'm glad you're all ready. That's good. That's very reassuring. I want to tell you one more thing before I move on. I want you to know that we ask for you every single week. Every single week we get together, all your leaders get together and student leaders, and we pray over you. Every single week at 5:30. And throughout the week, I know leaders are praying for you. I know I do. We pray for you. We ask God for you. And a lot of you by name. I got a little roster and I go down and I pray over each one of you because I want to see God working in your life. I want you to see God working in your life. And we can't have that unless we ask. And we believe it so much. We pray for you every single week before you get here. And there's people in the back during the service that pray for you even during the service while we're speaking. There's somebody back there right now praying. We believe prayer really works. We do. So we pray over you. All right? You got to ask. Verse 3 says this. This is what he says. You ask and you don't receive. You ever had that happen? You do ask God. You're like, hey, God, I need this, and this. And then like nothing happens. And you're like, maybe I didn't do it right the first time. All right. And then you get back down. And you're like, all right, God, hey, just in case you didn't hear, this, and this. Well, time goes by, still nothing, right? You're like, all right, God, what's going on now? Do you not care about me? Are you not listening? Do you not hear me? A little God earwax, like what's going on up there? And so you try again. And you get frustrated. He's talking about that same situation right now. There's people that ask, but they don't receive. And so what James is going to tell us is step two, don't do this if you want to actually receive. Don't do this. Look what he says. Because you ask wrongly. You ask wrongly. You do it the wrong way. Well, what's the wrong way? I got a list of them for you. I went through the Bible and just kind of pulled out a whole list of different ones we can look at, all right? But it's all going to boil down to one thing. But let's go through it anyway, because James says to spend it on your own passions. Yeah, just because we're asking doesn't mean we're not missing the target. Just because you're asking God for something doesn't mean you're going to get it. And it doesn't mean you're asking the right way. You're like, Rob, I pray. You know, every single night, I grab my teddy bear, whatever I do, you know, like, I don't know what you're good to, girls. Teddy bear, I don't know. Guys, I grab my football. You know, I don't know what you do. But you have your little thing you do, right? And you're like, Rob, every night I do this, I pray, and I'm not seeing God answer my prayers. What's going on? What's happening? Well, first of all, that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong, but it could mean that. So let's just look at these, okay? Because James says, make sure you're not doing these first. Make sure you're not doing this. You don't want to ask in the wrong way. And so here's a couple of them. To spend it on your passions. What do you think that means?
Like an iPhone.
Like an iPad?
Is that your passion?
I'm going to try to show you a video real quick that explains this. Unfortunately, it's been like skipping and doing craziness. So if it doesn't work, I'll just have to... You'll be stuck with me. But it's funny. It's funny. Anyone want to see the King of Queens? Anybody like the King of Queens? I love the King of Queens, but we'll see if it works. Are you able to do it? All right. Give us a second because it's a little confusing here. No, we're not watching the whole thing.
What'd you pray for?
I can't tell you. That it won't come true.
Okay. It's not like blowing out your birthday candles.
All right. I prayed for Mrs. Donnelly. You know, the one who broke her hip?
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah, and I prayed for these Gucci shoes I love to go on sale.
What?
Yeah, they're black with these silver strappy things, but they're a little out of my price range, so, you know.
You can't pray for shoes.
Why not?
Because you're not supposed to pray for petty things.
Well, at church today, I prayed for my raise, and I got that.
That's what you were praying for? Okay, you obviously have no idea what you're doing here.
An extra $100 a week says I do.
Okay, how can I explain this to you? Let's pretend I'm God. I'd love to end world hunger, but I'm too busy looking for cheap shoes for Carrie. Oh, well.
Okay, you know what? I believe that you can pray for the important things, and you can also pray for the not-so-important things. God's a pretty bright guy. He can figure it out.
Well, that's how you think it works.
Yeah, that's how I think it works.
Okay. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't even know how to pray right. You're kneeling by the bed like a 5-year-old.
I will pray any way I want to.
Fine. Pray the way you want. I look like a moron.
What is your problem?
My problem is you're using God as your own personal genie.
I am not.
You are too. You think that if you want a pair of shoes, all you got to do is pray for them and poof, they're new shoes. Well, that's not the way it works, okay? This does not equal this.
All right, you can stop it right there. All right, obviously, the King of Queens is not our source of biblical truth, okay? So not everything they're saying up there is what... I can't see you. There you are. Whoa. Hey. All right. But they do make a good point about what James is trying to point out here. One thing I don't want you to get from that is that you're not allowed to pray for things that are in your heart. You can pray for physical things, all right? There are things that you can pray for. God doesn't say you can't do that. But the problem was, something's still going in there. Did you hear that? The problem was that she was making God into this big Santa Claus or this big genie, right? Like, I just want you to give me stuff. The whole relationship that I'm having with you is based on you giving me what I ask for. Like, that's it. Like, who's God to you? Oh, he's this guy who, like, I ask him stuff and poof, there it is. And James is like, some of y'all are doing that. You're asking, but you don't receive because you're treating God like a genie and you just want to spend the blessings he's given you on your passions. And you've turned God into Santa. You've forgotten that he's bigger than just this thing called prayer. Prayer isn't just for you to get stuff. Prayer is a way for you to have a relationship with him, for you to approach his throne and sit there and worship and fall on your knees before the God of all creation. Because you're privileged to be in a spot where other people can't if they don't know Christ. You're privileged to be in front of the King. Don't undervalue him and turn him into some genie Santa when he's your God. And so James is warning against that. He says, if you do that, God's not going to answer your prayer. There's lots of ways that we could ask wrongly. All right. So here's a couple of them. I looked them up for you. Psalm 66:18. Listen to what this says. If I had cherished iniquity, what does iniquity mean? Huh? Iniquity. Sin, all right? You guys know what sin is, right? If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know that when we have consistent sin in our lives, it's hard for us to have clear communication with our Creator. When we're constantly wanting sin and desiring these passions that James is talking about, it's hard for God to say, yeah, sure, I'm gonna just answer all your prayers. We're going to see the Lord's Prayer later, and the first thing he does is ask forgiveness for his sin and get his heart clean before God. Because as we walk in that throne room, we want to be able to lift up holy, clean hands before our God, which means we want to go in there loving him more than anything else, more than sin, more than physical things. And so sometimes you're like, man, I've been praying for this thing like crazy. And it's like God's just not listening. Maybe he's doing it because you got sin in your life. It's possible that you got some things to confess, and that's more important than answering your prayer at that moment. He wants to teach you something. Because prayer is about that relationship, right? It's not just a give me this and then you get it. It's let's talk. Let's have a relationship and grow together. All right, so maybe there's sin. Hebrews 3:19 says this. Here's a second one. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Why can't they enter the presence of God, the rest of God? Because they don't believe. Do you ever pray where you're like, I'm going to ask this stuff, but I'm just kind of saying it. It's almost like this weird thing you do that you don't really sometimes even recognize what you're saying. You're just kind of like praying it. And then you think maybe he'll do it. But if he actually answered, you'd be like, what? You actually answered that prayer? Like, I wasn't expecting that, God. You ever pray like that? Or do you pray expecting your God to do it? Do you pray in a way to be like, I totally believe that you're big enough to do this, and I believe that you love me, and I believe that you'll answer the best way that you see fit? Do you pray like that? You're in control. You told me to tell you. I'm telling you. That's how I'm going to pray. And I believe you're big enough to do it. Because if you pray and you're like, oh, I'm not sure you'll even do this, Hebrews tells us probably won't even get your prayer answered anyway because you're not praying with faith. Hebrews 11:6 says it too. Listen to this. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You got to believe. You got to have a relationship with him that says, God, I trust you. Not just I trust that you're going to give me everything I ask for either. I trust that you know what's best for me. And if you say no, that's awesome, because I know you know what's best. If you say yes, awesome, because then, you know, like I get this thing I've been begging you for. But you got to trust God, not trust the things he gives you. So as you pray, trust that he knows what's best. Here's another one that could hold you back. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. It says, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So we get this picture of this guy who's going to come up to the altar and do a sacrifice, right? Or leave his gift on the altar. And as he's about to do that, he remembers, uh-oh, Talby and I, man, we had words, dude. There's something going on here. We're about to fight. You know, I got to go talk to Talby because I better get this resolved. I'm going to leave my gift. I won't give it yet. I'm going to go up and be like, bro, I'm sorry, man. Let's get this right. Okay, sweet. We forgive each other. Now I'm going to come back and go before God with my gift. Why? Because now I have a clean heart. Remember we talked about going in, approaching that throne? How dare us walk into God's throne with these like dirty hearts that are rebellious against him? He doesn't let his enemy in his throne room. He doesn't welcome the enemy into the throne room. You've got to be his child to get there, and Jesus already did that for you. Does that make sense? So we go with pure hearts that represent Christ and are changed by Christ, and then we can walk into his throne. So there's got to be forgiveness. So if you're not forgiving somebody else, and you're coming up to God being like, man, I love that you forgave me through Jesus, but I'm not going to forgive these people. Maybe he's not hearing your prayer. So think like, hey, Rob, there's some people in my life that I need to forgive. There's some people in my life that I'm holding some stuff against. Maybe that's why your prayer's not getting answered. Maybe try forgiving. And regardless of your prayer, you should still forgive those people because it's right. All right. Another one that James says, James 1, verses 6 to 8, it says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Do you hear that? No doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Uh-oh. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you're going to go up to God and doubt, you're probably not going to have your prayers answered. He says that he's unfit to receive anything from God, a person like that. Go up to God with faith and trust, all right? And then we see another one, 1 John 3:19 to 22. Listen to this one. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. A guilty conscience can hold you back from getting your prayers answered too. Your prayer is going to miss the target if you've got a guilty conscience. And not just one of those things where you just feel like guilty, but literally like your sins need to be forgiven before your God. The blood of Jesus, Hebrews tells us, washes your conscience so that you have no more feeling of guilt. Jesus took that away from you. So as you're dealing with sin and you're going to God saying, hey, I want this, 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 and this, most likely you're not asking for the right things because your heart is full of sin. And you're probably asking for sinful things or things that are just so physical, it has nothing to do with Jesus. So if you're like, hey, Rob, you know, like I asked these things, but they don't come, God just hasn't been doing them, check your conscience. Check and see if your heart's clean before God or if you need to have a conversation with him and repent of some stuff. Another one we see in Proverbs 3:34 that can hold us back. This is the last one. It says, toward the scorners. What's a scorner? Anybody know? A scorner. What is that? Huh? I can't hear you. Person that's bad is mad? They're mad, I think. Mad scorners can be mad people. Yeah, yeah. Someone who scorns, hence the "er" on the end. Yes. That's scolding. That's a scolder, yeah, but that, it does sound the same, doesn't it? A scorner is like someone who basically makes fun or critiques and mocks you, like that type of person who thinks they're better than you. So listen, toward the scorner, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. That's what it says in Proverbs 3:34. And James tells us the exact same thing at the end of the passage that we're going to look at in his passage. But here's the deal. If you go to God with pride in your heart, he's probably going to want you to humble yourself before you come up to his throne. If you go to God thinking, "You owe me this, God. Like, I've been a good person. You owe me. How come I didn't get this?" And you feel entitled, you get that pride rushing through your heart, you're probably missing the target with your prayer completely. Because God wants people to come to him who are humble. And James is going to tell us that right now. So let's finish up our passage real quick. It says in verse 4, he says, "You adulterous people." Now he's talking to the people that are like, "Hey, this is what you're doing. This God up here sent his only son to die for you. He loves you. His son calls you his bride as this picture to say he's totally committed to you. So much he gave his life for you. He loves you that much. And what you're doing is saying, I want the world more. I want physical things more. And so I'm adulterous. I'm like cheating on God. I'm cheating on the commitment that you gave to me, God, because I'd rather have the world than have you. And when I pray, I'm going to ask you for physical things rather than things that have to do with you. I don't care what your will is. I want this, and I'm going to be mad if I don't get it." That's the heart that these people are coming to God in prayer with. And he's like, don't do that. Don't be like those people. How do you expect the God of creation to look at you and go, "Oh yeah, sure, no problem. Come talk to me like that. That's okay. If that's your heart, sure. I'll still give you what you want." So listen to what James says. He says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Do you know you can't be God's friend and the world's friend? Do you know that? James is telling us that right now. If you want to be God's friend, you can't be the world's friend. Now, what does it mean to be the world's friend? Anybody know? What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah, to love the things of the world a whole lot, that you'd rather have that? Yeah. To conform, be just like them, be just like the world, love sin, do sinful things, not care about the gospel, not care about God, and live for him. James is saying, if you want that, you can't be God's friend too. Now, if you want to be God's friend, then you got to let go of that. And so as you come up to God and say, "Hey, look, I love the world. I'm a friend of the world, but I still want you to do these things." Do you think God's going to be like, "Sure, no problem"? What's James saying? Now, your prayer is probably missing the target completely. He may answer it. I mean, God has his ways that are way beyond mine, but your prayer itself isn't hitting the target. That's not how we were designed to pray. Okay? Now, this is his advice then. You ready? This is how we fix this. You want to pray good? It's not necessarily that you're down on your knees or bowing your head or doing this with your hands. Here's a big key in doing it right. Don't do those things, right? Don't go before God with pride in your heart. Don't love the world. Use prayer as a way to build a relationship with your God. Don't use it so that he's your big Santa Claus. "Hey, God, give me all this stuff." Use prayer as a way that says, "God, this is what I'm going through. I love you and I trust you. Give me what you see fit. If you want me to have this, fine." You guys remember Jesus in the garden? What did Jesus ask for when he was in the garden? We went through this in Gospel Life. He's down praying. Yeah. Something about a cup. You guys remember? Let this cup
be taken.
Huh? What did he mean by that? Let this cup be taken from me. Yeah, like, don't make me have to die on the cross. God, if at all possible, don't make me have to go do this. What did God say? How did he answer Jesus? Yes or no? He told Jesus no. He said, "No, you're still going to do this." Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus perfect? Yeah. Wasn't Jesus the Son of God? So Jesus is God himself? Is that what you're telling me? How could God tell Jesus no? You see, if God could tell Jesus no, I know he could tell me no sometimes. You know what I mean? I feel better about him saying no to me when I know he also told Jesus no. You know, so he's not picking on me. It's what's best for me. Because he knows what's best, just like he knew what was best for salvation to take place through Jesus. And so as we approach God, this is what James tells us to do. Are you ready for this? Here we go. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Who can tell me what the word submit means?
Give yourself?
Yeah. Give myself over to him, like surrender to God. If I surrender to him and say, look, I'm yours, what kind of heart am I going to have when I talk to him? Am I going to be prideful? No, because I'm bowing down at his feet, right? I got my face at his feet saying, you're the king. I submit to you, whatever you want. Am I going to go to God and demand things from him? Am I going to be thinking about worldly things that I want for myself? No, I'm going to be thinking about my God and my relationship with him and that he's great. And I'm going to use my prayer to worship his name and say, God, these things really are happening in my life and they hurt and I need you to work them out. But if you don't, I trust you no matter what, because you're still the king and I'm submitted to you. That is a picture of prayer. That's called praying in the Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit when you can submit yourself to God and say, look, you're the king. All right. You want more of God more than anything else. Now, he ends it with this. Listen, I'm going to read you these last couple of verses. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen to this, what he tells us to do. Be wretched and mourn and weep. What? Toby, does that mean he wants you to go cry somewhere? Go to the corner and cry. Is that what he's saying? No, not you. What's he actually saying? Why is he telling us to cry and weep and mourn? Wash my hands. And what is all this stuff talking about? What?
Is that right?
I didn't hear you.
Oh, well, then I'm probably not right.
Because I didn't hear you? They're not the same. You might be right. I just didn't hear you. Because the earth is dead. That's true. Yeah, we would let that die to me. But what else? Why does he want us to cry? He wants us to be sad and mope and walk around kicking the ground all the time. Like, is that what we're supposed to do?
No, no.
If you're a Christian, you should always have a frown on. You didn't know that? Maybe sometimes in some churches on Sunday morning it looks like that, but it's not true. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. He wants you to do this thing called repent. You guys know what that is?
Dead.
What is it? Be broken over your sin. You're right. Your tears should come because of your own sin. You should purify your hearts and wash your hands before him and break over your sin before him in a way that says, God, I'm sorry and I need you more than anything else. You know, we keep saying it. God wants you to be dependent on him. He wants you to have to lean on him. And sometimes he'll do things purposefully so that you have to grab on tight and hold on. That's how he made you to be, and he wants you in that position. And guess what prayer does? It puts you in that position. As you pray, you're throwing yourself at his feet and depending on him and saying, God, I need you. I repent of my sin. I need you because I can't do this. And all of a sudden, you're in the spot you're supposed to be, the spot you were created to be. And so listen to his last words. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So if you throw yourself at his feet humbly before God, guess what he's going to do? Only then is he going to pick you up and exalt you. And it hurts to throw yourself at somebody's feet, you know. It does. But knowing that your God is never going to leave you lying there in the dirt, he's going to pick you up and make you his child and exalt you and glorify you with himself because of who he is. That's awesome. You know what that means? It means he cares about you. So the next time you go, God, how come you're not listening? Take those words and go, just like we did at the beginning, blow them away, because you know how much your God cares about you. And he hears when you pray and he loves you. But throw yourself at his feet and go, God, I can't do this without you. Even if you say no, I'm still going to pray to you because I trust you. I want you more than anything else I'm asking for. Then you're going to see your prayer start to just take off, because that's called praying in the Spirit. All right. Let's do that now. Let's pray together as we close. Father, as we start this journey talking about what prayer is, I pray that you guide us. Lord, we admit here that we need you to do this. We need you to teach us. This can be a confusing topic. I know for me it is. And Lord, I just pray that you guide us through it. God, you teach us to have hearts that are totally in love with you. God, that we want you more than anything else in the world. That our prayers are full of requests like, God, let me know you more. God, help this person know Jesus. God, forgive me of my sin. And less of all the other physical things that sometimes consume our prayers, Lord. Help us love you and use prayer as a way to talk to you. So we love you. Pray over these kids, Lord. I pray that if there are people in this room that don't know you, God, that they would give their hearts to you tonight. Lord, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. When you go to your fire stations, you're going to fill out some cards. So find your leader and make sure you fill those out and have fun. Bye.